You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Good morning. Welcome again to MC3 and welcome to the couch. And honestly, this is like, you know, a series is about rest, and so we have a couch, we're resting. This is going to be really hard for me. As you know, I tend to pace, I tend to walk, I tend to jump, so I'm going to be restful and low-key. Yeah, right. Exactly, I do a Waynesville thing. Well, anyway, I am here with my friend Justin, and he has agreed to be a part of our start out this morning with The Point. Justin is a business instructor at Planet Fitness. So I want to give it up for Justin. First of all, welcome him here.
Thank you for having me.
He's also a killer shortstop on the
subpar
the C3, not officially MC3 softball team thing that's going on. But I broke. Yeah, that too. Okay, good job back there. What was that, Gene? We move his seat and everything goes crazy. Like that he always sits back there, and this is like right 8.5 years. That's the first time he's not sat in that back row. So, wow, this is exciting. Change is good. All right. But being a fitness instructor, a personal trainer at Planet Fitness, I wanted to get Justin's insight about this idea of rest from a physical standpoint. And we'll talk about it a little bit more as we go on. But I wanted to kind of interview him and get some ideas about this idea of rest. So first of all, I guess just kind of basic things, and these are, you know, simple questions. But as a personal trainer or a fitness instructor, do you tell your clients, is that what you call them? Are they patients? Are they like
members, clients, members? You know, John, okay. Susan,
okay.
whatever
Do you
they
tell
prefer?
John and Susan, especially if their name isn't John and Susan, yep. That's awkward. But do you tell them to rest their muscles between workouts?
Absolutely. Rest is one of the most important keys to the process of any kind of physical training, any kind of endurance training, any kind of training, period. Through the process of exercise, your muscles actually tear, your tendons inflame, and through the process of rest, that's where you recover.
So, it would seem to me that it would make more sense to exercise the same muscles every day over and over and over. Like, that would make you, you know, buffer. Not like in terms of, you know, what I do to my head.
But that's the general consensus. A lot of trainers actually live off of that theory. The theory, I hate to say it, is incorrect. Anytime you work your muscles, you're wearing them down. And it's essentially the same thing as if you're working 80 hours a week. If you're working 80 hours a week, you're going to be tired. You need rest. It's the same with your muscles.
Do you happen to, I'm kind of putting you on the spot a little bit, but like, isn't there something science-y that happens with your muscles there?
Yes. through your rest, they actually replenish the fluids that you lose when you sweat through working out. You also go through protein synthesis. That protein synthesis is what then rebuilds your muscles and makes them stronger and can withstand that endurance.
Wow, protein synthesis. So there you go. There'll be a quiz at the end. So let me ask kind of the reverse of that. What would be some consequences or problems with failing to rest as far as the muscle side of things?
Failing to rest, there's a multitude of things that can occur. One is injury. Overuse injury is very common. A lot of athletes will overtrain, not rest, and therefore they injure themselves. One of the big side effects is you're tired. You know, it's essentially the same thing as a baby. When the baby's tired, it cries, so therefore it affects your mood. It affects your relationship with people. It also minimizes your potential and your performance. You actually start losing what they call your gains if you start overtraining.
Wow. Well, I understand. Like, did anybody watch that Dallas game last night? Not that we're excited about what happened. Just hear me out there. Like, but I did watch that kick right before halftime.
Yep.
I'm Jam feeling count. His pain. He did that kick, tried to kick a 58-yard attempt. His leg went up and he went down, and I felt it in my 40-plus-year-old body, just as he is in his 40-plus-year-old body. felt that tear. So, well, then let's kind of go a little bit broader there. What are the benefits of rest for our bodies in general? I mean, what, just as far as a whole thing, not just the actual muscle side of it?
It improves your life. It improves your health. It improves your creativity. They actually did a study where they had people go through REM, REM sleep. They had people that were woken up right before they hit that REM sleep. That REM sleep is rested eye movement, which is your considered deep sleep. They did a study where they woke people up right before they hit REM. They had non-REM sleep, and then they had REM sleep. And it was proven that during that REM sleep, you actually obtain memory. It helps with your creativity. And once again, it's also on that muscle side. So it's not just your physical body, it's also your mental and emotional health.
Okay, good to know. So I guess you already answered the question about what happens when we sleep and rest. So then kind of on the opposite side, if we rest less, I mean, I'm louder now. As I was talking to Justin ahead of time, I mean, and we'll get into this in a moment, but, you know, it's a new year. We're talking about New Year's resolution time, right? This, what are you going to do to start this new year? And what if you don't do something? What if you actually be intentional about resting? And I said, I want to use today to kind of break down this stigma, because in our culture, rest is seen as laziness. It is seen as sloppiness. It is seen as, you know, selfish. And just this idea, like, if we rest less, like culture says, don't rest, keep going. But kind of the problem, what would be the problems as we give up that rest? If we say, no, I'm just going to keep going, I'm going to keep pushing.
You actually increase your risk of, you know, causing ailments. Your body actually starts healing itself, and protein is huge in terms of any kind of recovery, whether it's even the muscles or fighting away any bacterias or any kind of ailments that may come about. So that protein synthesis that we were talking about actually exclusively happens during your sleep. Hmm. So it's not, a lot of people say, oh, let's take this protein after I work out. You know, that's refueling your body, but that protein synthesis actually does not happen until you're in your REM sleep.
Okay, well, that's actually really good to know, because I know, I mean, that's, again, coming back to this idea, it's safe to say that rest is actually an investment in something better.
Absolutely.
Rather than keeping going. And just to ask this question to get out there, is it possible to rest too much?
Yes, it is very possible to rest too much. They actually, the causes of that, they say, is depression and or sickness. Resting too much will then equate to a broken up rhythm. Everybody has a rhythm. We're all creatures of habit. You know, we like to get our groove on. Hey, can we get a round of applause for that band, though? That was absolutely incredible. I enjoyed that. But the rest, I'm sorry, I got caught off guard there. What was the question again?
I don't remember. it was probably irrelevant. It was about resting too much or something, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah, resting too much. I mean, we're creatures of habit. You know, once you start breaking that rhythm and you're sleeping too much, it's the same effects as if you're not resting enough. You know, you start getting into that crankiness. You're then overtired. It's the same process. That's why there's that median kind of hour selection that they have for where it's 6 to 8 hours of rest, and then they also have that pattern after training as well. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much the same if you don't rest enough to where if you're not getting enough rest.
So in overall, I mean, I would say that rest is actually a wise thing.
Yes.
and good for the benefit. So can I do you have your phone? Can we get a picture for our Instagram? Just right there. Just be on there. We're gonna post on Instagram. You know, we're resting. All right.
Cool. It was a good rest.
Well, hey, why don't you guys give it up for Justin? Thank you very much. I appreciate.
Thank you for
I
having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate that. And you can kill your. Yeah, I got that mic there. So as I said. See, I'm still sitting. I'm just leaning forward. We're starting this series called Rest, and it's intentionally at the beginning of a new year because we have this kind of idea, and there's nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm going to fix something. I'm going to change something in my life. But this idea of rest as a New Year's resolution is probably anti what most people are used to. You know, wait a second. We're going to get started doing something new, doing rather than slowing down. And so I wanted to, on purpose, talk about this idea. And today we're going to kind of begin, like I said, breaking down some of the walls of what we understand rest to be. And then we're going to get into some specific things over the next few weeks of this month throughout talking about rest. But here's the point that I want you to get, and Justin already covered it basically, and that is this, and I don't have a screen here, so I'm like flying blind. That is, rest allows a tired body to replenish. Pretty straightforward. Rest allows a tired body to replenish. And we have this idea, again, that no, we need to keep going. We need to keep moving. We need to keep pushing. And it's actually just the opposite, as Justin shared. You know, rest allows us to replenish. And we'll see in a moment, we're talking about stuff here, not just physical, which is mostly the focus of today, physical rest, but also talking about like the idea of spiritual and emotional things too, where we're like, no, I need to keep going. Jesus wants me to kill myself for him, you know, do it. And that is just not true. And we'll get to that in a little bit, because we need to be replenished. We need to rest. And it's okay. So we're going to look at a passage here in Mark chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, the lights are coming on. If you have a paper Bible, if you have the YouVersion app, we're going to be on Mark, which is Matthew, Mark, two books into the New Testament there. If you tap on Mark, tap on 6. And this is the verse. But before we get into reading that, I want to tell you what's going on here in context. At the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples, to his 12, what are called apostles, his 12 followers, the ones that were with him all the time, that he was, you know, walking through everyday life with. And he had been doing some ministry, showing them, doing some teaching, doing some stuff together, and got to a point here where he sends them out. At the beginning of Mark chapter 6, he says, okay, guys, it's your turn. And he sends them out. And of course, if you grew up in church, you might have heard the, you know, sending them out two by two. This is the sending them out two by two thing. See, I'm slowly getting closer to the edge, but I'm not going to stand. He sends them out two by two. And basically says, you know, you've got the authority that I have. You can heal people. You can cast out demons. You can teach. You do this thing that I've been showing you. It's now your chance to do it for a little bit. And so he sent them out. He said, you know, if you go somewhere and they don't want to hear anything, just keep moving on. Don't waste your time. If they're not interested, just keep going. And so they go out and do this. And that's the beginning of Mark chapter 6. Then in the middle of the section, right before what we're reading, there's sort of an aside, kind of meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know, over here is what happened to John the Baptist. And we talked about that in our Less of Me series a year and a half ago, where he gets beheaded. So just so you know, if you're reading back in the passage, there's this kind of an aside, a meanwhile, about John the Baptist. But picking up here, this is on verse 30. It is right after these guys came back. So the 12 were sent out. Jesus said, you've got the authority. Go teach. Go do the stuff that I do. And they came back to Jesus. And that's where we pick up here in verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And we're going to look at that and kind of break this down in a second. And I just need to be full disclosure. This is the very next verse. The people chased them to the solitary place and said, no, we want you to heal us. And then they all ended up, Jesus taught them. There ended up being about 5,000 of them that were men. And then he had to feed them with fish and loaves. But he's Jesus. And so there's a little bit of difference there as we go into this. But just so you know, if you choose to rest and a large mass of 5,000 plus people show up and they don't have any food, and if you think you can feed them with fish and bread, then by all means, do not rest. Go ahead and do that. However, if you happen to not be Jesus, then what we're talking about today is for you. So just to be clear on that, don't be like, whoa, wait a second, he was lying. No, this is just kind of how things went down. So that's what's going on in this passage. And I want to talk about the core elements of rest. And again, this is kind of setting up where we're going over the next 3 weeks, the full month of this series. And the first thing that we see is in this verse, again, the guys, the apostles gathered, they reported what they had been done and taught. And then it says, because so many people were coming, that it's not there, Matt, you're good. They didn't even have a chance to eat. So he said to them. So the idea is they're staring. Look what happened, Jesus. Look what we did. And wow, this is exciting. And we were doing this and we were there. And he's like, this is great. Wow, you guys have been going. You haven't had a chance to eat, much less take a break. And he says, okay, this is what he says. And the things he says are what I'm calling the core elements of rest. The first thing, and this is the key, is with Jesus. When it comes to rest, like, we can talk about vacation planning all we want. We can talk about having time set aside and go to the best resort ever, the coolest amusement park, the nicest lodge. We can sit on a boat in the middle of Lake Raystown because, you know, you do. And, you know, whatever. But the point is that that in itself isn't going to really give you rest. And I know we're kind of playing attention here, but the idea that rest needs to be something more than just, okay, I'm going to sleep more. There's a concept here of with Jesus that's going on. And that's what we see in the first part of the verse here in part A. It says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me. By yourselves, to a quiet place, get some rest. So they went away. They went with Jesus by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And this idea of getting away with Jesus, it's important because it's not just, like I said, not just going on vacation, not just being unbusy, but it's a matter of saying, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What does rest look like? Because as I'm sure you guys know, I mean, of course, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And there's times where we're like, wow, this is really difficult. I know what I'll do. I'll solve this problem by taking a break. I'll go on vacation and then I'll come back and continue with the same problem. It doesn't fix it. And so there's this element of saying, okay, Jesus, what does it look like to rest? What is it that you want me to rest from? And that's kind of the general challenge going out throughout this series is, you know, not just saying, okay, it's time for me to sleep more. And maybe that's what it is. But maybe there's something else where, you know, it's an issue of, you know what, I need to stop doing this because I'm spending so much time on that I'm not resting. And so it's a matter of going, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What does it look like for you? You would go to a fitness instructor, a personal trainer, and say, okay, what should I rest? They will give you the direction. They will show you, here are the parts that you need to rest. Here's the thing that you need to rest so that you can improve this area. And that's kind of the key to where we're going this entire series is saying, okay, this isn't just a matter of sleeping more. It's not just a matter of taking longer vacations, but maybe it is. Maybe it is. You need to sleep more. Maybe it does mean you need to take a vacation. Maybe it means some of those things, but I'm just saying, what is it that as you look at your life, as you pray and say, okay, God, what, when it comes to rest, and we'll see why this is important, when it comes to rest, what does Jesus want me to rest? What is God saying to me? This is something that I need to rest from. I need to take a break. And again, we're going to unpack it over the next few weeks here. And I feel really weird looking here. You can, like, see my notes. So that's the first thing, is that when it comes to one of the core elements of rest is that it's with Jesus. And just understand that. And I'm not saying that you can't sleep. Like, you don't have to, like, well, I guess you could. I certainly pray, hey, God, can I have a good night's rest tonight because I need one? There's nothing wrong with that. But just this saying, okay, what does this really look like? What is the level of that needs to happen? So then the second thing is a second core element of rest is by yourself. And this is again, we're talking countercultural stuff. We think we can rest in the middle of a crowd. Now, I will be honest. I have a pretty good power. It's like my superpower of sleep. I could probably sleep right here in front of you. I'm pretty good at it. I'm getting older now. I'm feeling muscle tears again, like my Sebastian Janikowski. I can feel that. Actually that really hurt. but anyway, you know, what am I saying? So I'm really good at sleeping. I remember when I was in college, my roommate and I, we would go to Florida. My grandparents lived in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, and we would go there for spring break. And we were wild partiers from Bible college. And so we went to my grandparents. We weren't wild partiers, but we had a great time there. But we went to Walt Disney World one day, and because back then it was kind of affordable, kind of. And maybe they even had free tickets. I forget. We were there, and I remember we went to see, I think it was the Hall of Presidents, I think is what it was, or American Adventure. Anyway, in Epcot Center. And I remember the show didn't start for about 15 minutes. And my roommate and I, we were both like, we were tired. It was the early morning. We got up because we wanted to get there when the park opened. And so there's this big, long carpet queue area. So we lay down, and we went to sleep. I'm not kidding. Like, we laid down there and fell asleep. He was really good at it, too. And then we woke up, and there was this massive amount of people behind us in line looking at these weird college guys sleeping here. But I'm good at it. But the point is that, you know, you have to have, there's an element of needing to be by yourself that really helps rest. Because there are so many other distractions. And here's what Jesus said, of course. He said, come away, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And the word yourselves, the Greek word, the New Testament was written in Greek. That's the language that they spoke. And the word means this idea of with oneself. Like, there's an intentionality, there's an on purpose, there's I am going away to rest for the sake of myself, for the sake of what I need. And this is kind of weird, but maybe it's not weird. Maybe it's so basic that it sounds weird. But in order to rest, you need to be present. In order for you to rest, you need to be present. Because I think we have this idea, I'm going to shove this kind of rest thing in, and I'm still thinking about all these other things, and I'll keep my phone nearby, and we just kind of, we're going to rush this thing. But it doesn't happen that way. Rest takes some time. Rest takes some time where you are saying, I'm being intentional here. And, I know we're in a culture, I was just at my in-law's house. Oh, she's teaching. My in-law's house yesterday, and we were talking about, how kids these days, they don't appreciate nothing. And, we were talking about film and how you would, take a camera and put film in it and take a whole bunch of pictures. If it was a disc camera, all 15 of them. And you'd take all 15 of your pictures, and if you had a lot of money, you had the extra flash that you stuck on top, or those flash cubes that would turn. And then you'd take all these pictures, have no clue. Listen, you youngins, you had no clue what they looked like. Then you had to drive somewhere, and they actually had these things called photo mats. They were like a box, a shed in the middle of a parking lot. Did you guys have them around here? They were like blue and had a yellow roof. Anyway, you would go somewhere and you'd take this disc and you'd put it in an envelope and write your name on it and drop it in the slot. And you'd have to wait like 5 days for your pictures to be developed. Then they'd tell you, come back, and you'd give them the little tab and you'd get the pictures. And then you'd open them up and you took 15 pictures and 14 of them were your thumb. And you paid for them. Like, that was life. That was what life was like. And now, I got some pictures. Just actually, they were delivered yesterday. I went to my phone. I'm like, I like that one. Click, click, buy. And they were delivered 2 days later. Like, just like that. And so we have this idea. We're a very on-demand culture. We're a microwave culture. I've shared this before. When I was young, you used to have to put your dinner in if you were using like a TV dinner, it had to go in the oven. And it was like a 30-minute preheat, and then it sat in there for 45 minutes, so then you could pull it out and go, yum, this is the best chicken nugget and burnt pudding ever. But now there's a microwave. Obviously microwaves have been around for a long time, but I'm saying we are in a culture that is on demand. I was, again, talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, like, do you guys even know what commercials are? Do you remember, like, there was a time where at 8 o'clock, people were sitting around their TV because that's when the show came on. Not me going, scroll, skip, okay, go. All right, I'm watching that, and I'm done. So my point being, we're in a culture where everything seems to be fast, 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 and we need to understand rest doesn't work that way. It is not an on-demand, it is not a microwave kind of thing. It's a thing where we're being intentional, saying, okay, I, myself, am going to be present in this moment of rest. And I know that sounds weird, but I think we're so easy looking for the quick fixes. And, I'll take this, or I'll drink that, or I'll go over here. Like, this is an intentional decision, because if we don't do it, we start causing all sorts of other problems. If we don't take the time to rest our muscles, they don't get to be what we hope them to be. So the third thing there, so it's with Jesus, by yourself, to solitude. You put on your Clark Kent. Kirk has the shirt right now. Go to your fortress of solitude, Superman reference. But the idea of getting away is also an important element for rest. And I'll just share this, and I don't want to insult my kids here. But on Friday, I was trying to do some work on my kitchen. We're remodeling our kitchen, and I was trying to do some work. And I was getting ready to do something, and Tommy has been writing poetry. And it's crazy awesome. It's like Shel Silverstein It's really good. I'm like, did you copy this somewhere? Anyway, he's like, Dad, I want you to hear my latest poem. Okay, you know, so I'm going to go listen to this poem. Okay, now I'm going to go back and drill. Wait, Dad, I need you to. Okay, I'm going to go over there and listen to that thing. Okay, all right, now I need to vacuum this up. Dad, I'm talking to my teacher right now in school, so you have to be quiet. Okay, they cyber charter school. And, okay, all right, now I'm ready to get work. Wait, it's lunchtime. Everybody needs to come into the kitchen and use it. And it's this idea of, like, I'm not getting a thing done because of all these other things going on. And they're not bad things, but they just are. And this idea of rest is we need to realize it's going to take some solitude. It's going to take some disconnection. And let me tell you, sleeping with this by your head isn't disconnection. Who texted me? Like, you know, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was serious because I'm always getting feedback from the audience. And but this idea, like, we need to disconnect. We need to get away. And sometimes that means putting your phone on do not disturb. That means taking a time to disconnect physically, to get away from the location. Because, again, we are not able to cram these things in. This is something we have to be intentional about. I don't even know what time it is. Okay. And so this idea of being alone, it requires strategery. It requires planning to say, I am going to rest, and this is what it's going to look like. It's going to require being, I don't know, an adult. And I'm 42. This is still hard. Like, when I was a kid and my parents were like, this is your bedtime. I could work with that. Like, I went to bed at 1 o'clock the other day. I am too old for that. In the morning. It just doesn't work. And so I'm getting to the point where, like, okay, let's be disciplined. Let's be a big boy now. And I'm going to go to bed by around 11. That's at least a little bit better than 1 o'clock. And so we have to be intentional. We have to get this idea of setting some time aside, being in solitude, being alone. That's what Jesus said, of course, here in the third part of that verse. He says, to a quiet place. Come away to a quiet place. The word quiet, solitary, deserted is what the Greek word actually means. And it says, then so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. We need to get some solitude when it comes to rest. You have to be intentional about this. You have to be on purpose. And again, everything, as we'll see in a couple of minutes here, everything about our culture is saying just the opposite. Ironically, at the same time, we are not alone. We're alone in community because we're always staring at our own devices and not with people. And yet, we're not actually alone in a solitary way. It's just kind of a weird thing. But the idea of solitude and being intentional, saying, okay, I am saying, what is Jesus? What do I need to rest? What is God telling me? What is he showing me? What do I need to rest? And then being present in that moment, saying, this is what I'm doing. This is a decision. And then saying, okay, I'm going to get away. Here is how I'm going to make this happen. Here is what the solitary is going to look like. And then finally, for rest. The core elements of rest are with Jesus, by yourself, to solitude, for rest. And rest in itself as an end is okay. It's not just okay, but it's good. And I'm just, I know we are in such a culture. I mean, dude, like there's so many of you that have to work third shift and second shift and all these overnight. Like, it's crazy. This is hard stuff. But we need rest. We need this time of rest. And that's what Jesus, of course, says then. He says, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And the word means refreshment, recharge, replenishment. It means essentially protein synthesis, if you will. Because that rest allows your body to become better at what you're supposed to be doing. That rest allows you to do what you're doing even better. And again, everything about what we think and say is about pushing, going further, going faster, getting as much as you can out of it. And I mean, I know so much about NASCAR racing, but I know that at some points you can't push the engine too hard. You can't push the tires too far because they'll blow. You have to change them. You have to pit stop every once in a while. It's on purpose. And everything about us, our world, says no, 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 go. And I'll tell you this. If you grew up in church, and there are people, I mean, I remember being taught this at times in my life, that, well, it's for Jesus. Well, if you love Jesus, you're just going to keep going. You don't need rest. God says he'll provide everything you need. You just keep going. You kill yourself. And we're neglecting the fact that Jesus took time to rest. And I've seen people burn out on ministry. Like, they're doing incredible things, but they're doing it so hard and so fast that they have to stop. And my question is, how practical is that at that point? How much more effective is someone that is going this far in ministry that they can't do it anymore, rather than someone taking intentional breaks? And we're on purpose about that. Prime Groups relaunched today because we took a month of December off on purpose. Not because we're lazy, but because we want our leaders and the hosts to take a break at Christmas time. We didn't meet last Sunday on purpose. Not because we're lazy, not because we don't love Jesus, but because we said, Christmas is a time for family. And we're going to say, hey, all your children's ministry leaders, all your Ignition workers, come on in. All the band, everybody practice. Put all this stuff time into something when most people won't even show up anyway because they're spending time with family. Or we can say, you know, we're going to be intentional about rest, about taking a break. And this is on purpose. I mean, there's so many levels of this, right? We don't have 87 different ministries. We have prime groups. We have this worship experience. And we do C3 opportunities where we meet needs for other people. And that's on purpose because we want to focus on a few things and then have time for rest, have time for relationships. So those are the core elements. With Jesus, by yourself, for rest. So again, the point being, rest allows a tired body to replenish. And this is a good thing. This is where we are allowing our muscles to rest, to rebuild physically. This is where we're allowing our mental, getting a little mental space so that we can rebuild and we can give. My day off is Friday. I have offended some of you, I know, because I haven't replied to you if you get in touch with me on Friday. I definitely gotten some bad feedback in my previous church about not responding to ministry needs on Friday. And let me tell you what, if someone dies, that's a big deal, and I would respond to that. But most of the time, I don't respond if you need to know if the building will be unlocked at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. I think it'll wait. And the reason is because I need space. I need rest. I need replenishment. And I have no problem. I do not look at my phone. I don't touch Facebook. I get away from that because I know my issues are, I'll just real quick. It ends up being 3 hours later. And I'm not rested. And then it comes to Sunday. I'm like, I don't have stuff to do. And people say, I have this need. Sorry, I don't have any time for your need because I'm just too stressed. Like, it allows a tired body to replenish. It's important. So I want to just put a few rest myths to rest. Because, looking at where we're going this series, looking at where we're going the rest of these months, there's some myths when it comes to rest that church people, not church people, have bought into about what this looks like. The first thing I want you to understand is that rest is spiritual. Rest is spiritual, even though it seems shallow. And again, this is kind of that church thing, like, well, you need to keep giving, you need to keep going. Jesus didn't wait to die on the cross for you, did he? Like, he didn't say, I need to take a nap before I forgive your sins. And like, no, he didn't. He is God, so there's a difference there. And you'll see in a moment, maybe there isn't. But this idea of rest being a spiritual thing, it's okay. It seems shallow. It seems like, well, why would you do such a thing? You know, don't you love Jesus? Why aren't you here? And I want you to understand it's spiritual. And here's a very simple thing in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 1, you have God creating the universe, creating everything. 6 days, it tells you about what happened in the morning, or what happened that day, and then the evening, and the morning, and then the next day. And it goes through the 6 days. And then we get to the seventh day here at Genesis chapter 2. It says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. So God made all of it, which is pretty impressive. Created all of it in 6 days. But on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all of his work. God, you're with me on who I'm talking about here, right? God rested. Now, understand, God did not rest because he's like, man, I don't have to do that again. That would really be awful. No, because of what goes on here. He rested from his work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. What does it mean to declare, to bless, to declare it holy? God was saying, there's something special here. I want you to see human beings, my creation, that there is a need for rest. And to make something holy doesn't mean suddenly it was without sin or every seventh day, which, by the way, is Saturday, not Sunday. He said there's nothing, it's not about the day being extra special and you float and you wear halos that day. He's saying it's set apart. There is something unique and special and spiritual about rest. And so that's what's going on here. This seventh day wasn't Jesus, wasn't God going, I just don't know what to do. You know, I'm all out of ideas. I guess I'll stop. Like, no, this was him saying, I want to make a statement here. I'm setting it apart as holy. I'm making it unique. I'm making it set aside. And this word holy, I mean, again, depending on where you grew up, depending on what you've heard in church and all this stuff, it doesn't mean, you know, again, that everyone's sinless. It doesn't mean that people wear halos. It means to set apart as unique. You know, I don't know what it was like going to your grandmama's house for a Thanksgiving dinner. But I know my Nana had the special dishes. She had the china. And those dishes were set apart. You didn't use them every day. But for Thanksgiving dinner, the table was set with these holy dishes. Because they were set apart. They were made a unique, special, a unique, special thing. That's what the word holy means. And so God is saying, I'm setting this day apart because it's important. Because it's a spiritual thing. This isn't just because you're a bunch of lazy idiots. No, I'm making something unique here. And I want you to understand that. And so even though it might seem shallow and this idea of rest, no, that's not a good thing. No, this is actually a spiritual thing. And God even made it a spiritual, unique, set apart thing. The second thing is that rest is unavoidable, even when it's unpopular. And again, as I shared earlier, you know, my day off, it's kind of unpopular sometimes. Well, I need to have you. You're a pastor, right? That's why you get millions of dollars a year. You're right. But this idea of saying it's unavoidable. You need rest. And the thing about this, too, and we didn't really talk about this, Justin and I, as much, but, you know, if you kept going, eventually your body would force you to rest through injury, through emotional breakdown, through whatever, just physical collapsing and exhaustion. A collapsion, that's when those two happen together. It's bad. No collapsion here. But you know, your body eventually will stop you. And so rest is an unavoidable thing. But I want you to understand, when you choose to rest, and again, coming back to this with Jesus idea, not just being lazy, not resting too much, but saying, okay, I'm being intentional about this. Not everyone is going to be a fan of that. It's going to be unpopular. And I want you to take comfort in the fact that Jesus rested and it was unpopular. Here's what we see in Mark chapter 1. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. That's my favorite time of day. I'm always up then. But Jesus was being intentional. It says, while it was very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, i.e. went by himself, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus said, I'm being on purpose. I am the Son of God. He is fully man and fully God. So he did get weary as we as humans do. But at the same time, he was fully God. So, you know, he had some extra God ability that he had limited. But my point being, he's not even a normal human being like us. None of us are fully God. Okay. And he intentionally went off by himself to rest, to take some time to pray, to do some spiritual rejuvenation. Jesus did this. And then Simon and his companions, you know, these guys that were close to Jesus, his followers, and understand that too. This is Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher, and Simon is an underling. Coming to him, they went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. I.e., what are you doing? What, don't you have some ministry, some miracling to do? Some healing, some teaching? What do you think you're doing, Jesus? And Simon, as we know, Simon Peter, was really good at sticking his foot in his mouth. He often said things that he shouldn't. And here's another case where the disciples go to Jesus and basically, you know, condemn him. Condemn's a strong word, but admonish him for resting. And say, what are you doing? Everybody's looking for you. You're Jesus. What do you think's going on here? But Jesus understood that rest was necessary. Even though not everyone agreed with that, he was setting that example. And again, for us, you may choose to rest. You may choose to take a break. You may choose to set aside some time, whatever that looks like. And again, following what Jesus is saying, not just so you can have more leisure time. I don't know. Maybe you need leisure time. You know what I'm saying? But when you do that, it might be unpopular. And sometimes you just need to do it anyway. And we're going to talk about in a couple of next week, about this idea of rest also requires faith. Because when you're resting, you're not doing. And when you're not doing, you have to realize that you're not doing it to begin with, and God is. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, about the crowns. Are you Herod, trying to fix things yourself? Or do you step back and say, okay, God's got this? And rest forces that, and we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. So rest is unavoidable, even when it's unpopular. It is completely necessary. Even Jesus went off to take rest. And then finally, rest is strategic. Rest is on purpose. Even if it feels selfish. It feels selfish. And that's one of the things too. Like, oh, I just don't have time to rest. There's all these people that need me. There's all these people that count on me. I have to do it. Again, going back to 2 weeks ago, take your crown off because you're not Herod. You're not the boss. You're not in control. God is. And this idea of being intentional, even though it feels selfish, even though it feels like, well, if I do this, that's just not fair to the people around me. And let me tell you this. I'm going to stand up for this one. Failing to rest is more selfish for the people around you than trying to meet all of their needs. There, I'll sit back down. Like, we have this idea like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. That's not fair. And no, you need to rebuild. You need to replenish. You need to refresh. And in order to do that, you need to rest. And so that you can be the best you can be. And I mean, I've shared this before. I am not the best dad and husband when I don't get enough sleep. Or I'm a complete jerk, however you want to call it. Like, I know that, and I've learned, like, okay, that's why 1 o'clock in the morning is not a good time for me to be going to bed. And then getting up and being a little cranky and like, and it's messed up. Like, I'm night and day with good sleep, with no sleep. And so for me, it's like, okay, I need to be intentional about this because I need to give my family my best. And if that means I don't get to watch the rest of that movie that I really wanted to watch, that ended up being kind of dumb and the book was better anyway, Ready Player One. Then so be it. Because it's worth it for the sake of my family later. And that's something we need to understand is that rest, it's a strategic thing, and it's going to feel selfish. It's going to feel like you're making yourself more important than other people, but you need that rest. As Justin shared, even the emotional well-being of rest allows us, because then you're a better person around other people. Like, hey, I'm going to keep going for Jesus. I want to tell everybody about Jesus because I'm such an awful person because I don't rest and I'm a jerk. And everybody's like, yeah, thank you for sharing this Jesus thing with me. I don't want anything to do with it. But if we took the time to rest, and again, I'm not just talking about sleep. I hope you're getting that. I'm talking about, what does this look like? What is it that you're doing too much of? What is it that you need to back off and hand off to God? What is it that you need to take a break from and be intentional about it, even though it feels selfish? And here's what we've got in Luke chapter 5 in verse 15. It says, the news about him is Jesus. The news about him spread all the more. So people are starting to hear about this Jesus guy. And they're like, whoa, this is incredible. So the crowds of people came to hear him teach. They wanted to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So people are coming. Whoa, this is for real. Like, there are serious amounts of people showing up. This is like the ultimate tent revival going on. And a good, Jesus person, like Jesus, should, of course, just stay there with them and keep. We don't want to turn anybody away. We don't want to shut the doors. What if we miss out on an opportunity? What if this Sunday comes and people show up? And Jesus, but, you see the but? I underlined the but. But, Jesus, don't say but, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Do you understand? It wasn't like and, it was but. There are masses of people coming to him. He is Jesus. This is a ministry opportunity. And he is intentionally saying, you know what? I'm going to pull away from this for now because I need rest. I need to be replenished. And it feels selfish, but it's an intentional, it's a strategic thing. We've talked about the idea of, of oxygen masks. We talked about that multiple times. And you get onto a plane. And when you get on a plane, of course, they give you the little spiel and talk about the importance of, you know, in the loss of cabin, in the event of cabin depressurization, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. And again, a lot of this is review for you guys. But, you know, they would say, you know, please put your mask on first and then help others, help the children and the elderly after that. And I remember, again, the first time I heard this was like, that just seems so selfish. You're like, let them all die. Save yourself. Yay. Got my mask on, sucker.
You are my father.
No, anyway, I am your father. Anyway, no, and it seems like so selfish, but the point was that if I'm going, hey, let me help you, kid, then we're both dead. So it's not selfish. It's actually an intentional decision so that I can help you. I'm putting my mask on first so that I can give you what you need. It's not selfish to hydrate while you're working out. Oh, I'm going to stop for a water break. No water breaks. I mean, obviously, a university learned that over the summer. I was at Maryland. Like, you need breaks. You need rest. You need replenishment. And it's an intentional decision. It's strategic, even though it feels selfish. It's a wise thing. And so there's some of the myths, again, with this idea that it's not a spiritual thing. No, actually it is a spiritual thing. It seems shallow, but it's a spiritual moment. It's unavoidable, even if it's unpopular. People might not like the fact that you are choosing to rest. And again, I'm saying this as a caveat, but when we talk about with Jesus, when we talk about what does God want me to rest from, it's not an excuse so you can be lazy. Understand that. It's you consulting, you know, you going to Jesus and saying, okay, what do I need to give up? What do I need to rest from? You talking with your family, you talking with your boss, whatever, your boss, your ministry leaders, whatever, and being intentional about something you actually need to do, not just going, ah, I don't care if it's not popular, but hey, I get more time off, you know. But what does this look like? And then finally, it's a strategic thing. It's not selfish. It's not selfish for you to be the best that you can be for the people around you. That's okay. And it's okay to say no. I mean, if you are serving in a ministry here at MC3, you should have been required to read the book, What Matters Most, subtitle, When No is Better Than Yes. And the whole point of this little book that we give out and we have all of our ministry team people read says it's okay to say no. It's okay to turn down ministry. It's okay to not do this. Cause, and that's kind of gutsy. I don't want to say like, hey, look at me. Look how proud you are of me. But it's kind of a gutsy move on a church. It's a risky move on a part of the church. Because we're essentially giving you a book and saying, we'd like you to help, but when you read this book, you might say no. But we're okay with that because rest is important. Because sometimes saying no is okay. Because sometimes not doing something is better than doing something. So the point today, as Justin really helped me out explain, that rest allows a tired body to replenish. We need to be resting. We need to be doing this so that we can replenish, so that we can become better at what God wants us to be. And you're not any better than Jesus, okay? You're not better than God, who God chose to rest on the seventh day to make it a spiritual moment. Jesus intentionally got away by himself to rest. So let's remember that. And as we go over these next few weeks, you know, we're talking about rest. Maybe your New Year's resolution isn't about doing more, but about doing less. Maybe it's about something that you don't start doing, but maybe something you stop doing. Unless the start doing is getting more sleep, I don't know. But rest is such an important thing. It's an okay thing. It's an appropriate thing. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how that looks in different aspects, from a spiritual perspective, from a faith perspective, and then even just an emotional, like a mental perspective on how these things come together. But that's where we're going to go. And so today I want you to understand that rest is okay. It's not just okay, it's expected of us by Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And I just thank you for your example. I thank you that the God who created the universe intentionally chose to rest, to set apart the idea of rest on that seventh day,
to show us that it was a spiritual thing, that it is a necessary thing, and that we see the life of Jesus, and he continued to take time to rest. And I just pray for today, you know, for all of us in this room. There are so many different things that we're doing. There's so many things that we're involved in, and they're not bad. They're not wrong. But maybe we need to say no. Maybe we need to rest from something. Maybe we need to give up something for the sake of allowing us to really replenish and become more like who you want us to be. I don't know what that looks like, God. And right now, as we are praying to you, I just pray that you would show us individually what that looks like in the life of each person here. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that we can start a new year looking at this idea. And I pray not only would you help us to understand what we're supposed to do, but give us the guts to do it. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.